This is us learning in public, trying to...
Literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We're at Vancouver Public Library. Yes. There are glass doors. Yes. We're literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala. This is Seen. Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
So last episode, we talked about the fact that fear is a given during these times, but that it's possible to cultivate other feelings too, like joy and calmness. But today, instead of trying to redirect our attention, I wanted us to actually focus on fear and what it's like for us and how we work with it. Because as always, there is no way out but through. And the more we run from feelings, the louder they tend to get.
And my fear feels loud right now.
Yes.
Well, at least like internally, I'm sure. I don't know how it's resonating for people that are like watching me, mainly my partner, but it feels like very turbulent inside right now. So
yeah. So I wanted to ask you like how you've been experiencing it. Like, what does it feel like in your body?
It'll be fine for a long time. And by long time, I mean like a couple of days. And then I'll have this overwhelm, like a moment of like everything's overwhelming and just any sign of tenderness that I genuinely only consume through social media, I think. But any video that evokes like some emotion, I'll just like send me over the edge where all of my fears feel more real and more validated because I see other people going through it or being in their feelings. So I'll be fine for a long time. And then I'll have this moment where I'm like, I need to cry because I'm just feeling a lot. And then I purge the feeling through crying, it feels. But yeah, it's weird. It feels like a yo-yo. It doesn't feel like
right. It's
like a steady state of anxiety or fear. It feels more as though I go from like feeling joy and happy and all these great grounded feelings to feeling untethered in a matter of like a couple of days. And it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm getting more used to that, I guess.
Yeah, so it's coming and going a lot.
Yeah.
You said that. Sorry, I just wanted to ask you.
Oh, you want to ask me more questions? Okay, yeah, ask me more questions. Therapize me?
Yeah.
I don't know what the verb would be for that.
So you were saying that you cry and that's like a big way of getting it out for you. So do you feel like when fear comes up, you're really able to just let it come up and let it come out through tears? Or do you think like sometimes you're pushing it away or sometimes you're trying to like detach from it and then other times it just... you can't and it comes out? Or how do you feel about it when it comes up?
Impatient. I'm like, oh my God, again. It's fucking, because it feels familiar. I'm getting more familiar with feeling like fear is not just, oh, I'm worried about my mom getting sick one day. It's like every day. So I think because of the everyday awareness of the fear, I'm annoyed with it. Like, it frustrates me that I'm still, you know, when you get impatient with yourself, like, hey, just move through it already. And I don't think that I'm being necessarily hard on myself. I think the feeling of let's just get through this shit comes from it just feeling like it's every single day. The fear is at least percolating. It doesn't necessarily make me want to cry or make me want to like express in a really explosive like way, like crying or something like that. But I'm less patient with it. And on the other hand, I'm like, of course you're going to feel scared right now, Nicole. It's not a big deal to feel scared. It's okay. You know? So yeah, that's me right now.
But it's not a fun feeling. Like,
no.
It makes sense that you'd be like, can this just, I already felt this. Like, can I not keep feeling this again?
And again?
It's like not exactly a pleasant thing.
Exactly. And then almost, like, I'm sure lots of folks have experienced heartbreak, but you know, when people say like, I have no more tears left to cry, 'cause you've just cried so much about the heartache. It feels like that, where it's like every single time I cry about it, it feels even more raw. And I'm just like, okay, can this be the last teardrop? But my body keeps on producing more. I don't know how.
You're like, where is this coming from? Like,
I want it to end, but it won't. So
yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, I relate to so much of what you're saying, because I don't feel it all of the time. I definitely have times that I am able to get my mind off it or just be in a different state about it, like be more in like a kind of surrender or like a groundedness.
Acceptance or something.
Yeah. And then it comes back like so extreme and I'm like terrified and like my whole body is like so tense and my heart's pounding and like I can't breathe, which like, I've this whole time been like, why does the hallmark symptom of this have to be the same as the hallmark symptom of anxiety?
I am with you on that one. It's real cruel. It's real cruel. It's like, couldn't it have been like, I don't know, hives or something? Like, couldn't it have been something else where it's like, oh, obviously. But now you're like, okay, let's try to meditate. Breathe, breathe, breathe. And you're just like, am I breathing like heavy because I have corona? Or is it because I'm having a panic attack? It's just a lot.
It's so upsetting. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so I'm also. Wait, I need to ask you a couple more questions because I'm curious.
Turn the table.
Yes. Now I'm the therapist. I'm curious how your body is feeling because prior to us being all on lockdown, you've had like underlying health issues and things that you haven't been able to really get fixed. And I'm wondering, you know, I don't know what else to say, but like they haven't been resolved. I know right now because everything's on lockdown and we're not able to access like acupuncture and massage and all those things. Like, how's your body doing? Because my neck, the tension in my neck and my face and my jaw is unbelievable right now. I'm curious about how your body's doing.
Yeah, it's been really hard. It's been really hard to manage like chronic pain in particular. I think it was like the first night that, you know, everything was shut down. I got into the state of fear and then my whole body was just so tense. And I kind of like was curled up in bed and like went to sleep and was waking up throughout the night and was like, oh my God, like one of the worst tension headaches I'd ever had. And I was like, this is night one. Like, what is this going to be like, I don't know how this is going to play out. Cause if this is just going to get worse and worse, like it's not.
What are we going to do about this bitch? Yeah.
So I've been having to work really hard to, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's like on one hand, this is like harder for me than it might be for some people. Cause I do have like chronic health conditions that are difficult to manage. But then on the other hand, I also have a lot of tools that I've developed over the years because I've had to work with chronic pain and chronic fear and things like that. So I can kind of go into my toolbox, and because I'm not able to work as much right now because a lot of my clients have lost their jobs and things like that. So now there's like a lot of time that kind of allows me to use some of those tools. So I've actually like for the most part been able to manage it like reasonably well. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but then at the same time, it's actually interesting because, and I think there's a very good reason for this. The things that help me manage my chronic pain also help my mental health. They like help with fear and they help with anxiety.
Why do you think they're so interlinked? I mean, is it simply just because like the body remembers like, or and the body like responds to threats of fear? And it's manifested physically, like?
Yeah, and I think, absolutely. And I think that a lot of the reason why I have chronic pain is because of having post-traumatic stress and having chronic fear in my life. So I think a lot of the things that, yeah, a lot of us are probably experiencing right now, that sort of like, you know,
curling
tensing.
Up,
yeah, like brace, kind of bracing, flinching against something, you know? I think a lot of us are feeling that right now, which is why probably why like your neck is sore and that
back and my traps and everything. Yeah
and that I think is why I have so much chronic pain in those areas of my body, is from like years and years and years of those emotions. So it all ties in very well. What was your relationship with fear before this? Like, was it something that you were very intimate with, or like what were your relationship with it?
Honestly, yeah. I feel like, if I was being honest, I've always had a relationship with fear. I tend to worry more easily than I believe that the world is going to be fine and everything's going to be okay. Like, my natural sort of habit is to assume the worst. And I've had a few experiences in childhood and adolescenthood where straight up terror has been the feeling. And it's a very known feeling to me. So I don't know if you've come across this on social media anywhere, Lala, but something to the effect of like a post that said, you know, those of us who feel like the sense of calm right now, like you might you might feel calm because like your whole life has basically been like terror and fear. And when I saw that at some point, I was like, oh, wow, that doesn't resonate. But then there's parts of that that feel to be true where I'm like, oh, I've been in this heightened sense of grief and fear like for a prolonged amount of time before. This is not something that's totally new to me. Obviously, this is different because it affects everybody around me, not just myself or just my family. But it feels familiar, definitely feels familiar. And I actually was going to take a moment just to invite everybody who's listening to like just notice your posture and your shoulders and the tension and relax your jaw and relax your back and take a big, you know, cleansing like deep breath in, because so much of what I have noticed for myself in the past month is the goose, like you said, the bracing. I'm feeling like really like my body's contracting and I'm in almost fetal position even when I'm working at my desk. And the moments where I'm like, oh no, like do a chest opener, do something like that. It feels so good to relieve my body of that like contractive sort of, I don't know, groove that I'm getting myself into. So just wanted to say, take a deep breath, notice where you're tense, shake it out.
If that feels
okay
to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good reminder. And yeah, I want to talk about some of the ways that we can work with fear because yeah, like I said, the more we run away from it, it's okay to distract ourselves sometimes, obviously, like that's an important coping mechanism. But I also think that sometimes we need to work with it because otherwise it just kind of builds and builds. And that is not something that I want to experience.
Yeah, least. Same here.
Yeah. So for me, one of the things is just naming the feeling. Like I think often we'll kind of talk around it or we'll call it anxiety or worry. And maybe there's moments where those are the best descriptors. But I also think, at least for me, I'm curious if you feel this way too. Sometimes it needs to be named as fear or as terror, as being terrified. Because anxiety just doesn't resonate in the same way. Like I think anxiety, for me, it almost feels a little bit more surface level or a little bit more, it's like pathologized as opposed to naming like fear, which to me is more deeply felt. It's more of this like survival feeling.
But when I say I feel scared versus I feel anxiety, scared and like scared makes sense to me. Scared feels personal. Scared feels like there's a threat. Anxiety, like you said, it's almost a pathologizing term. And it also is very valid to describe a lot of things. But I think the term is so big that it, to me, it feels like it's not specific enough about
how,
because like when people are anxious, they can respond in lots of different ways. But when, and same thing, I guess, when people are afraid and fearful. But I think that there's some common, like, if I'm scared, I'm like protecting myself. Whereas if I'm anxious, like I could do a lot of different things, and anxiety can look really different for a lot of different folks. So I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also I think it can be at times in the right setting with the right people or, you know, maybe journaling, depending on what feels right for you in a moment or what you have available to you. I think it can sometimes be helpful to actually name what you're afraid of. Mm. I had a moment like early in this whole, in the shutdown, where I panicked and, you know, and then I started crying and somebody said to me, oh, like, what are you afraid of? And it kind of caught me off guard because when you're in that moment, it just seems so obvious. It's like, oh yeah, this is terrifying. There's this threat. There's this danger. Like this bad thing is happening. And then when they said like, what are you afraid of? It made me stop and think, oh, okay, what exactly am I afraid of? And I had to sort of name the specific thing that it was. And for me, I was afraid of getting sick and I was afraid that I would get, you know, one of the more serious forms and that, you know, I'd go to the hospital. And I think for me, it helped to move it from this just big, all-encompassing cloud of terror to like this one specific thing.
Like making it finite?
Yeah. When it's just this like big wave of terror that doesn't have a particular shape or form, it's pretty hard to like care for yourself. It's pretty hard to just not be completely overwhelmed and frozen.
Yeah, I think
does that resonate with you at all?
No, it does a lot because one of the things that I'm, so I am most scared for my mom getting sick. That is my biggest concern. My biggest fear is my mom getting sick because she works in long-term care. She's a nurse. She has made the decision to move my youngest sister to live with my eldest sister to make sure that she is safe from getting infected if my mom brings something home from the hospital. And so my fear is different from your fear in the sense that, like, I'm not so much concerned about myself getting sick and having to go to the hospital. I know that's a possibility, but that's not my biggest fear. So when I hone in on what I'm the most scared of my mom getting sick, I am able to focus on, okay, well, I actually can't affect, like, I know for myself that I can't do anything to change those outcomes for my mom. We don't live together. She knows she's a nurse. She has her medical training. Like, she, you know, there are things that she knows she needs to do for her job. And I think for me, it's helpful in anchoring myself in what it's kind of what we talked about before, like what I have control over. So it's my mom getting sick. I actually can't do anything about that. And then it sort of not dispels, but it takes a little bit of the load off of me worrying about everything else, because I know I'm just worried about this one thing. And we might have lots of things we're worried about or lots of things we're scared about, but I'm totally with you. It almost everything else sort of pales in comparison. And then at least you know where to focus your attention on. And if you can make some changes, or if you can find a way to self-soothe or address the thing that you're scared of, that's it. Just, yeah, it seems like that's where you can direct your attention and your energies. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel as well. And something when we're worrying for others and there isn't a lot we can actually do about it, because, you know, to some extent, if we're concerned for ourselves, for example, there's like certain measures we can take that can help us feel like we're, you know, taking all the precautions that we can.
Yeah.
We still aren't completely in control, but it's something to do, and we don't have that for others. And so something that can be helpful, though, when we're worrying for others is sending some kind of like love or care to them energetically. It's just a way of, like, I don't know, ritual can be really soothing, and it can help us to direct that energy. So if you're somebody where prayer has meaning for you, you can pray for that person. If it doesn't, if breath work feels accessible to you, if it feels okay to try, there's something called a heart breath that can be really nice. So it's a deep breath, and on the inhale, you imagine taking all of the loving energy into your heart from earth and or from source. And then on the exhale, you send that loving energy to the person you're worried about. It comes out through the front and the back of your heart, and it goes to that person. Mm-hmm. And so you can just take a few minutes doing that kind of breath, and it just, that sort of loving focus on that person with the deep breaths can just be a really nice way of like directing the energy and moving it through your body.
Yeah.
Does that feel like something that could potentially be helpful?
I think it, I mean, yeah, I feel like that's accessible for me, but I mean, everyone else is different.
Everyone is different. Yeah. So we're going to try to like talk about as many different things as possible.
Yeah.
Making art can also be really calming. Like, so journaling is a way of getting some of the things out of your brain. But another way that can be really calming to the nervous system is doing something creative. And it's not about like it being good or like, you know, it's not about being an artist. It's just about expressing. So it can be expressing the feeling itself. Like, you might could start with, okay, what does this fear feel like? If I had to give it a color, what color might it be? If I had to give it a shape, what shape might it be? And you can just start drawing it. Again, it's not about it being good. It's just about expressing something. You also did, I don't know if you want to share about this.
I was going to talk about the collage that I made. Is that what you were going to say? Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you're totally right. The creative stuff, just the expression of it is the most important thing. And I'm really glad that you mentioned it's not about it being good, because my natural tendency is to be like, if I make this thing, like, what can I do with it? Like, what purpose can it serve? Or, you know, like looking at it for its objective productivity in this, I don't even know. But there is something really important, I think, about taking the time to just express for expression's sake, especially right now when everything feels so beyond us. I feel like having, and maybe the expression, because I made a collage, like you were saying, I had like three magazines. One of them had Beyonce in it. One of them had Lupita Nyong'o on it. And I took out all the images of Black women and Black femmes and just like Blackness, which was very few and far between because it's like Vogue and a couple of other like fashion magazines. from a couple years ago and cut them out and made this like awesome, I think, a beautiful collage. But it was more about just taking the time to cut out the blackness and putting all the blackness together with something that felt really invigorating and powerful and power and affirming for me in a time where everything feels like it's not worth it to like look beautiful right now because we're all in a pandemic, or like beautiful, like beauty is, it feels like frivolous almost, like, oh, I don't need to bathe as much, or I don't need to like, you know, put on makeup, and I have more makeup for a long time. So it kind of felt nice to like look at beautiful things and like handle beautiful things. And also just like the precision of cutting and collaging took my mind off of what's going on in the world. And you had mentioned it earlier today that at some point we need to address the thing, and distractions are also good. And I think built like making art can be an expression of like how you're feeling in the moment of fear, but it can also be this way of self-soothing that takes your mind off of the fear entirely and makes you kind of escape into something that's more pleasant, you know?
Totally. And yeah, I think soothing is so, so, so important, because fear, it's like such a stressful state for our bodies to be in. And so anything that we can do, I think this starts through self-compassion, is by asking yourself, like, what would I need in order to feel a little bit more ease, in order to be able to soften, in order to be able to like release some of this tension? What might do that, even just a little bit? It's not about how do I feel the most relaxed I've ever felt in my life. That may or may not be accessible to you, but like, what would just help me soften a little bit? And it, something like that is such an amazing practice. Or it could be as simple as like making a cup of tea, or your favorite blanket, or, you know, a movie that you find comforting or something like that. But that soothing is so, so, so important when it's such a state of stress.
And I want to say also, I'm really grateful for the amount of energy and work and talent that I can see across all spectrums of social media, where folks are really honing in on their craft to provide support in terms of like affirming people's fear and giving people language and tools and resources to take care of themselves. I will also say that it can be really hard for folks who are very new to like self-care, or even just taking those moments of like small little making tea and noticing like, oh, this tea is nourishing, like I want to enjoy this tea. For those of us who are not familiar with the self-care thing, and you know, coronavirus and self-isolation is like fast tracking you into having to care about it, and you might still feel like I don't have enough time for that, like work is actually really busy right now, or like I'm stressed about other things, I don't have the time or the capacity, I totally respect and honor that. But I also truly believe that now of all times is the time to be taking that one extra second, even if that's accessible to you, like that one extra second of like when you sip that coffee, like sending that coffee down to your toes, like taking the moment, taking the breath. I think I don't want to almost feel like I'm caring about things that are frivolous or like not important right now because there's more important things, but like we are as a collective, as individuals, the important thing to care about right now. And I just want to say that if you're the kind of person who's like, I have a million things to take care of, like family and dependents, and you know, I have to work and I'm at risk, I see you and I hear you, and I just want to send you a hug virtually, and also a whisper in your ear that like you deserve to take that moment for yourself as well.
Totally, totally. I think a lot of people feel like it's self-indulgent or something like that, or they feel guilty because they're like, not everybody can do this. But as we always talk about, it's like everything starts at home. We have to be here and be well enough to give to others. So it's really important to prioritize ourselves. It can also be very challenging for folks who, you know, maybe grew up in environments where they were not cared for in the ways that they needed to be. It can just be really hard to even know how to, or to feel like you deserve it.
Absolutely.
And that's real. And I think that is part of why it's so important to be okay with experimenting as much as possible. And again, self-compassion, it's like we don't have to be the best at self-care, and we don't have to, you know, achieve feeling soothed or feeling calmed, or, you know, achieve caring for ourselves in the best way.
Honestly, my eyes are rolling because I'm agreeing with you 100%, but I'm like, you're so right. It's not about like achieving master level like zenness right now. That is not, I think we should just like flick that off the table. I don't think that's useful. You know, I think it's really about doing what's enough for yourself, not looking out to other people. Because I don't know about you, but as a non-therapist, I'm like, wow, there's so many people who were like in healing professions sharing this amazing stuff. And I'll just scroll through. I'm like, yes, y'all, just I can't right now.
Yeah.
You're expecting me to do like, you know, how many hours of yoga with all this free time I supposedly have? Like, I don't want to do it. You know, I feel like throwing a temper tantrum all the time right now. And so I think.
And that's so okay too.
Yeah.
Like, temper tantrums are important.
I think temper tantrums is team temper tantrum right now.
Exactly. And yeah, again, like we're talking about working through fear right now. But it's also really okay to distract yourself. And if you're really not able to do any of these things at all, and you go this whole time in just a state of like terror and tension, and there's like really nothing you are able to do to disrupt it, I just want to hold space for that too. That's valid. And yes. It makes sense. And it's not your fault.
Yes. Thank you.
This is like such a hard time. And so just getting through it is kind of the most a lot of us are able to do. And that's really okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
It really is okay. I think we should be, I think I always want us to, and I think we are always trying to hold space for both. And so the folks that are able to do the breath work, the folks that are able to do the, you know, 3 minutes of like rubbing lotion into your hands with like care and tenderness, the folks that are able to do the collaging, and the folks that are able to just like go on the toilet and take a pee and take a breath, and that's all you can do. That's also amazing as well. We're surviving right now. We're all trying to make it.
And one person can probably contains all of those multitudes too. Like you might have like a moment where you're like doing all of the things, and then a moment where you just like completely collapse, and that's just how it is. You know, we don't have to, I think it can be so hard to be like, well, yesterday I was able to do this, so I should just be able to like force myself to do it today. And you know what? Sometimes you can't, and that's just how it is.
And I wanted to say also, I've noticed how great it feels for me to, in the moments that I'm feeling like, oh, I need to take a walk right now, or I need to get some fresh air, or I need to do fill in the blank. The moments where I'm able to honor what my body needs in like in that time, you know, I felt so much more, I don't know, connected to myself, or like I listened to my body. It feels really good to do that, because I think for a lot of us, we end up putting things off, especially when our lives pre-coronavirus are like busy and we're like, no, I don't have the time right now. There's something really responsive and affirming to ourselves when we listen to what our body needs and are able to respond in that moment, if that's possible.
That's such a beautiful thing to be able to do. It's so calming to your system. It's so supportive to your relationship with yourself when you're able to just listen to your needs as you arise and meet them as best that you can. And yeah, like everything else, it's a practice. It doesn't always work the same way, but it's kind of an aspiration. All of these things are sort of aspirations or intentions or possibilities, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did want to talk a little bit about movement, and I'm glad you already brought in that piece of like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing how much yoga with all this like supposedly free time I have.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot out there that's like really oppressive and just like shaming or just unrealistic, you know, about like, oh, well, everyone should come out of this, you know, in great shape because you have all this time, which first of all, a lot of people don't for so many reasons. Like, there's a lot of people who are still working. There's a lot of people who have more responsibilities now because, you know, their kids aren't in school. There is a lot of people who are so understandably overwhelmed with terror and stress and whatever else that maybe you have literally nothing on your calendar to do, but you're really just barely able to exist at this point.
Yeah.
That's so valid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't even really want to focus on all of the things like, you know, the walks and the yoga and things like that, because I think people are very aware that these are
things they can do if they need
exist.
To do them. Yeah.
Yeah. If those things are accessible to them. But I think it can be really helpful. There are certain ways of moving or responding in your body that can help you to disrupt the like fight or flight response in your body. And if, you know, if you're in the freeze response of the fight, flight, freeze, these can be really hard to do. So if there's times where somebody, you know, can remind you, or you can like set reminders on your own phone or something like that, that's great. It just might also not be
for you
accessible
for you.
Most times. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's valid. And yeah, and for all of these things, everybody's the expert on themselves. And so if something doesn't work for you or doesn't, you just have an intuition that it wouldn't be great for you, like, please
don't do it.
Bypass it. Yes. Yeah. One thing that can be really helpful, we've talked about this before actually, is tapping, like tapping with either like an open hand or like a loose fist on like up and down your arms, up and down your legs. And it's kind of a way of breath work. Often when we're in fight or flight, is not accessible. It just, you can't access the deep breath. And so it can make you even more anxious to try to focus on your breath. That happens to me a lot. So tapping on like the outside of your body can be kind of a way of getting back into the now, into your body, without having to focus on your breath. Have you found tapping effective for you?
I have found tapping to be helpful. I think I've done it in therapy a couple of times. Mm. And in the moments where I've needed it, it's been very useful. And it's so accessible, like you said, because it has nothing, it doesn't really feel like it has anything to do with breathing deeply. It has everything mm-hmm. to do with, like, I don't know, almost like noticing your skin and how your skin's responding to your own touch. Mm-hmm. And I think that feels like I'm here in my room tapping my shoulder, like just affirming of where you are here and now, as opposed to where you might be in your mind as you're like,
yes,
spiraling.
Exactly. That yeah. outer body awareness is, it can yeah. be really calming. It can also, if there, you can like try brushing off of yourself.
Mm.
So it's harder when, it's hard when there's no video. No one can see me.
Lala is brushing her skin. Yes, narrating.
But it's just a way of like taking any energy you don't want on your body and just like brushing it off, and really like imagine that visual of like pushing that
away.
Energy off of you, yeah. away from you.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And almost like wringing your hands, like shaking your body clear of it, like getting it off of you. That
yes.
feels, yeah, really good.
Exactly. And thank you for saying that, because that leads really well into shaking, which is a very natural response. A lot of animals do that.
True.
A lot of,
yeah.
Yeah. A lot of humans, like, we often suppress this response, but it is a very natural way that bodies try to release stress and trauma, is by just fully shaking. And so a lot of times, because we're humans and we like to, you know, we have like this sort of self-consciousness, we'll sort of, we want to act normal and we'll kind of suppress it. But shaking your body can just be really helpful to get some of that energy out of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Again, it's all about releasing, like stress, tension, trauma. These are parts of life, but it's about releasing and moving through.
Mm-hmm.
There's other simple movements too that can help you if you're spiraling, if you're in that fight or flight, balancing on one leg and then the other leg, or throwing a ball, or like think of sobriety tests, just things like putting yeah. one foot in front of the
touching
other,
your
like
nose,
touching your nose, just like
doing the head pat belly rub thing.
Those, yes,
you know, coordination. I guess it's using coordination, or like trying to get
exactly.
into your body, right?
You have to, they're not like really, really difficult, but you need a little bit of focus, and it helps to just bring you back into your body, into what you're doing. You can try like putting your thumb and ring finger together, and then thumb and
I do that all the time.
Finger,
I do that all
finger.
The time.
Yeah, and just going back and forth with
right.
your fingers. Little movements helping to move energy, helping to bring you back to your body. A way to help yourself to remember these things, because often we do not remember
what to do in
the have in
yeah,
the moments that
yes.
we need them.
You're
most.
You're just like, I want to cry, I'm going to freak out, and like that's all we have access to. But there's
yeah,
other things,
which is great too.
Yes,
like, if
yes.
If you feel like crying, please let yourself cry. If
yes.
it's at all possible.
Yes,
that is like one of the most effective ways of just getting your stress out.
Yes,
but if you, in moments where you are feeling a little bit more present, if you're able to write out any of the tools that you have at any time found helpful or are interested in trying, and put it somewhere that you can see it in those moments. You don't have to remember in your brain what were the things that you found most helpful. And then the last thing that I want to talk about leads really well into our BIPOC of the week. So I wanted to feature Dora Kamau. She's a meditation teacher, and she's actually also a psychiatric nurse.
And one of my friends. She's so funny. I love her.
Yeah, she's so wonderful. We were fortunate enough to get to work with her too at the Grace Club event that we did on anger. She moderated it and did an amazing job of creating this beautiful space for people, and, you know, helping people to, again, be present, be mindful with such a big topic and big emotion like anger. We were so blown away by her facilitation that night. And, you know, in the wellness community, it's so white a lot of the time, and it can just make it really hard to get into these practices that can be really healing, like yoga and like meditation, when seemingly, you know, these are things that usually come from communities of color, and they've so much been co-opted by white people that it can just feel really like alienating.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that she is like known in our local community as a person leading that work is also just really inviting for so many Black women, specifically Black folks specifically, in entering those spaces and saying like, oh, like yoga can be something that I can access, or breath work or meditation is something that is actually made for me in mind as well. So yeah,
exactly. And so the fact that, so she has a meditation on her Instagram on IGTV called Make Friends with Fear. It's really beautiful. Again, like, so often mindfulness and meditation, it's on this like toxic positivity bent that doesn't want to acknowledge any like supposedly quote unquote negative emotions, you know, not recognizing that these supposedly negative emotions are an essential part of being human. Like, if we weren't afraid ever, then we would never know how to protect ourselves from danger, right? So fear is actually
necessary a lot
of
the time.
Yeah, it's doing a job for us. And yeah. So making friends with fear, I think, is like a really beautiful meditation to offer. And she also has these events that she used to do, I think, in person, but she's done at least one on Zoom since the shutdown started, called At Ease, which is a mindfulness group for women of color.
I had the great honor and pleasure of going to one of her Melanin Mixer events in, I think it was February. Yeah, it was during Black History Month, and it was all It was for Black women and femmes. And it was, I think, her last event that she was doing through Bliss Your Heart, which is like this collective that she's made to do in-person meditation events. But yeah, it was incredible. Just the space that she was able to hold, and the fact that she brings together so many lovely people who are also trying to seek that same feeling of mindfulness and presence and groundedness. She cultivates something so beautiful in the city.
Yeah, she does. And this is the thing about mindfulness. So much of fear is happening in the future. So not always, but a lot of the time, especially right now, a lot of the time, fear is coming from what if this happens in the future. Point. And so when we're able to notice that we're doing that and come back to the present moment, we might have to do this many, 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 many times per day. But it can be very, very useful to build that muscle of coming back to the present and coming back to the body and coming back to the moment and, you know, realizing, okay, what's actually happening here and now?
Yes.
And often, you know, like I, this morning, was reading a scary headline and getting really into that fear, and then coming back to the moment and being like, okay, right here in this moment, there is the sun coming through the blinds onto me. This feels really nice. And I can hear my little 4-month-old nibbling, you know, making her stegosaurus sounds.
Yeah. So cute.
You know, it's kind of all we have right now is the present moment, because everything is so uncertain. So to have this amazing Black woman with the most soothing voice.
Voice is incredible. Incredible. Yes.
And the most amazing energy. You can follow her on Instagram. You can watch her meditations on IGTV. You can also access some of her meditations on Spotify and through Insight Timer. Thank you so much, Dora.
She's the best. Thank you.
She's the best.
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community, and we cannot do this without you.